Good morning. This is the day the Lord hath made. Oh, he's got you trained, doesn't he? I hear that right now. Can I make a statement to you? Trusting God is a series of choices, okay? Trusting God is not a one-time event. Trusting God is not saying, I'm going to trust God and leave it at that, but it is a series of choices. It is a series of opportunities. It is a series of decisions that we're going to do that we say we're going to trust God. How many of you say you trust God? Everybody says, yeah, I trust God. But it's a circumstance at times that throws us. It's a series of choices. It is not a one-time event. That's a good word for it. Stand to your feet because we're going to make the affirmation about the base of everything we do in this house and the thing you should be doing in your life. Hold up your word together. We're going to make a confession together. Lynn, put it up for me if you would. And I want you to make that confession with me together about the word of the Lord. Ready? This word. Word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Say it again. Give me a little strength. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said, amen. Be seated in Jesus' name right now. My call today, and I don't mean the call of necessarily today, but the thing that moves me at this point right now in our journey together and before you right now is to speak to you with regards to preparation. If you wanted to talk about a thematic concept of what I've been doing for the last, especially the last year and even before then, is the concept of preparation. It is amazing to me that people have church and there's nothing there to prepare them. And it's almost like they live schizophrenic lives where you've got the God part here, and this is the real world over here, and things like that. And they will try to intimidate you by saying, these are not the people that need to be in charge. Those are the people that need to be in charge because the foundation. So don't back off from those things. In fact, laugh at it. It will confound them. You don't really believe that, do you? Try that one time. That's better than, well, you're stupid. That worked. No, it works better if you just kind of question it with a laugh and a smile. You don't really believe that. Those are the people, the foundation of the morality, the foundation of our word, the foundation of our founding, the foundation of our lives. And there were men that did not live according to the words that they even wrote. So don't, and people say, well, because they broke those laws. No, don't let that divert you. The word is true whether people do it or not. The word is true whether they please you or not, whether they fail or whether they succeed. The word is still true. So don't let people say, well, those were awful people and those preacher people and those religious people and those leaders, they didn't practice what they preach. Welcome to the club, neither do you. But that does not denigrate, nor does it minimize the truth and the power of God's word today. We're living in a time of preparation, and I know I push you at times, and I know I'm walking out there at times, but I figure, hey, man, you know, I don't have anything to lose. And I just want to, I feel to say some things. We're at a point right now where globalists are trying to inflict more financial trouble on people, physical trouble, mental health damage. It's going to get worse over the next few months. Many of the things you're seeing right now, please don't get diverted from that because it's just like watching David Copperfield or the other magicians there. When they're doing this with their hand, there's something going on with this one over here down at the same time. And you're going, oh, isn't that wonderful? How'd he do that? He's just over there working this thing and picking your pocket right there. And the same thing is happening right now. You're, oh, look at that. Oh, that's so terrible. Oh, somebody needs to do something about that. Man, while they're doing that, it's a horrible thing. It's breathtaking what has happened in just the last 2 years. But I'm here to tell you, you've not seen anything yet. So at this time, we've got to draw on things. You ever feel like you look at stuff and you say, if I look at it anymore, my head's going to blow off? The great psalmist, Waylon Jennings, said it this way. He said, I've always been crazy, but it's kept me from going insane, he said. How many of you know that right now? It just kept you. That's in the Bible. You can find that. That's Waylon Jennings right there. That's the word of God, I'll tell you. I've always been crazy, but it's kept me from going insane. And by the way, some country lyrics are they're great. Here's the bottom line, though. Even when I see the consternation, I want to stand here and say to you, I still trust God's word. Amen. Trusting God is a series of choices. It is not a one-time event. Not only do I still trust God, I will continue to trust God. The other day I got a devotional, that word for today devotional. It said, God is either the object of your trust or just a part-time helper that you call on when you can't handle things on your own. That's the way people live a lot of time. That is not understanding the concept of trust being a series of decisions. But today we're going to break away from maybe the traditional messages that I would be having in a time like this. But we're going to deal with the weekend that we're looking at right now. Labor Day. Labor Day. Labor Day is good. It's not the same without Jerry Lewis. I'll just tell you that right now. It's not the same without Frank and Dean and Jerry on the day. It's not the same anymore, so you're on your own tonight. Do you know how things change? This was a definition of Labor Day from the History Channel a few years ago. Labor Day pays tribute to the contributions and the achievement of American workers, traditionally observed on the first Monday of September. It was created by the labor movement in the late 19th century. It became a federal holiday in 1894. It's the weekend that also symbolizes the end of summer for many Americans and is celebrated with parties and parades. That's not really a definition you hear too much anymore, does it? And although today and this weekend has actually a lot of times been made fun of because work has been denigrated in our society. Workers have been denigrated in our society. I'm here to tell you, work is a noble thing. That's not my opinion. That's God's opinion. Work is a noble thing. If you thumb through Proverbs and just Proverbs 10, 14, Proverbs 12, 11, Proverbs 13, 14, Proverbs 14, 23, 20, verse 4, 21, verse 20, all, just right there, talking about the nobility and the importance of work, all in the book of Proverbs, so you understand the concept when it's coming from Proverbs. But here we are. I hope you get a little bit of rest time. You ever got to the point, Grandma used to say it like this, I'm plumb wore out. I'm not worn out. I'm plumb wore out. That's how they say it like that. But I want to say, I pray that whether you're actually working on the day and the weekend, because by the way, we're never really off, by the way. You're never really off. But there needs to be a place that you trust God with each circumstance, with each thing, with each choice, with each decision right now. Because real labor takes real commitment. Whether we're trying to lose weight, whether we're trying to build something, whether we're working on a financial thing, whether we're trying to find an answer to something, real work, real labor takes commitment. And that's the missing point right now. That's the missing point right now. People do not want to make a commitment to work through things, even natural jobs. I told you, as far as I'm concerned, there are three great inventions. First off, the wheel, number one. Great invention. I think flying is another great thing. The third thing is drive-through windows. And the invention of a drive-through, that's a God thing. And I have a Sunday drill. After I get dressed first and the others are getting ready, I'll go make my little trek there. And I have my little friends there. Sometimes when they hear my voice, they know what I'm getting. And we're pals. I mean, we really are. But I'm in there a long, long time today. And a young little sweet girl was there. And I could see people in front of me are just, you know, they just think they're entitled to scream. You know, just get out of here. I got a funny story about that. I'll tell you later. And finally, when I got up there, a little girl was there, and I said, hi, sweetie, how are you? And she just looked at me like this. She said, there's only three of us here today. Three people decided not to come to work today. That's tough. We live in a time right now where people are trying to hire people, but people don't want to work. But work is noble. It's a good thing. You know, when the word speaks about prospering, a lot of people pray that prayer. Lord, I want to prosper. Oh, and they'll pray those. They'll make the affirmations. They'll declare, I am going to prosper. I'm going to do this. But our old friend Nora Lamb said this one day. She said a lot of people are waiting for their ship to come in when they hadn't sent out a ship to begin with. And we don't want a miracle. We want magic. We want magic sometimes. And yet it is a noble thing. The Bible speaks about the things we put our hands to being noble. By the way, when you read about the word prosperity in the scripture, usually not far around it, you're going to see a word diligence. You will see diligence. The hand of the diligent will prosper, not the lazy. Whatever you put your hand to do, do it with all of your might there. You know, I'm a little bit different, and I got a cartoon I want to share with you this morning. Lynn, can you put that cartoon up right now? Now, you're not going to be able to see too much, but I'm going to explain it to you real fast. What you got here is a railroad track right there, and you're actually at a train yard there, and that's an office there, and there's a man at the desk with a piece of paper in his hand, and there's a guy standing there in front, and he's speaking to the guy, and here's what he's saying to him. He said, Webster, I've been looking at your timesheets, leaving early, coming in late, etc., etc. Webster, when you're working on the railroad, it means you work all the live long day. And this life that we're living right now, this thing of regular trusting, a series of choices, you're going to do it all the live long day when you decide you want to work on this railroad. The old timers just sing, life is like a mountain railway with an engineer so brave. Oh, we sing those songs. Blessed Savior, thou will guide me, heaven's railway. If you want to walk this walk, you got to do it all the live long day. There is no off time. Even when they say you got that Monday off, you're still going to be working. Because who are you? You're making a series of choices that I will serve God. To paraphrase the guy there, I want to say it this way. If you want to work here, if you want to work in the kingdom, if you want to follow him with your life, you will do it all the live long day. Yes, work is noble. And in its proper time, rest is noble. And let's talk about rest for just a minute. Now, we're in a time right now, lives are out of balance because there is lack of rest. I've spoken to a lot of people over the last few weeks about this when I was working on some of these ideas here. It's noble, especially for guys. How you doing? Oh, man, I'm running. I'm running. And you got to tell that story. I mean, you got to tell. Otherwise, you don't say, well, I'm taking Tuesday and Wednesday off, and I'm just going. You can only do that if you're in the White House. You know what I mean? You can't take those days off. And here we are. Here we are. That's a thing with guys. Oh, man, I'm running. We've all got to sound we're so busy. But work is noble, but we do need rest because after a while, the work doesn't turn into nobility. It's like walking through mud. You need that rest. I think there's a reason why the word said after he worked and spoke these worlds into existence that he rested. And if he needs rest, you need rest. Some of y'all need rest. Some of you need rest. Some of y'all need some, well, I can't rest. I got too many things to do right now. Lynn and I talk about some people that we know. It's the old traditional story. You know, you start out with that brand new axe. And the proverb was, you start with that brand new axe and you're cutting down 5 trees a day. Finally, they keep chopping those trees down. The axe gets a little dull there for a while. It goes to 4 trees a day. And finally, they're working even harder. They're going to 3 trees a day. Then they get down to 2. And the guy said, you got to stop and sharpen your axe. He said, no, I got to keep cutting down trees. And that idea in our lives, work is noble, you do it with all your might, but you do need those moments. And I think you can do that over this weekend, even if you're on a job. You can find places in your spirit, because that's really where the weariness is. You can catch up on your body on some things when you sleep a little bit. But sometimes you can have a full night's rest, and you wake up, and you are weary. Yeah, and we all get weary. Jesus, the word says, weary from his journey. So we understand, but there's a deeper thing of weariness where in our mind and in our heart and in our soul, we wake up, and we are weary. We are weary, as Grandma said, plumb wore out. And that's in our heart. And then it shows in our body. It shows in our health. It shows in our mental well-being. All these things, because we don't stop and take a little bit. So work is noble. Rest is noble more than ever. And lives are out of balance. You know, today we live in a time where busyness, I'm trying to figure out the best way to say it. Busyness today is a badge. Not profitability. Not being profitable. But busyness today is a badge, and we're running in so many, we look like somebody stepped on an ant bed right now. Now, some of us have heavy, heavy workloads, heavy, I'm not minimizing it, please, you're hearing wrong, but I'm talking about that even in the midst of that, you can find that place of rest. Linda used to do a lot of distance running. And she just a beast, and she'd run those marathon type those things, and she would do in the training session. Ned was training her, and I remember Linda would tell this story, and they would start running, and Linda would go, I want to stop, I got to rest or something, I can't do anymore. And Ned would say to her, okay, we're not going to do anymore. He said, I just want you to calm it down, and we're going to take it easy now. He never slowed down one bit. He never stopped running, but he kept telling her, we're going to take it easy. And believe it or not, she bought into it. She bought into it. She had not stopped the task at hand, but there was something inside that helped her slow it down a little bit, and she was able to do that and to run. And she, even after, she said, I know he's fooling with me. She said, I know he's not, because we haven't, I didn't slow down at all. Now, maybe you have a lot of things on your plate, some things we don't need. Maybe that's a periodic inventory things, kind of like your garage. You haven't used it in 2 years, give it away, and things. But you know, hear what I'm trying to say to you? That even when there's a load, we can find a rest for our weary soul right now. The scripture was very clear. Exodus 20 said it this way, verse 9. You have 6 days each week to do your ordinary work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord our God. Now, I believe that is dedicated to our getting ourselves back together. And your day off may come at a different day like that. This is not a do or die thing. It is the concept that's being told to us right there. Some of you have, and you celebrate other traditions, that's fine. You have other days that are off, but there must be a day. There must be a day. This gathering right here will help you. It will restore your soul. It will restore, even doing this, breaking your pattern of this drive and doing these things. There's life in this right now. You see, this had to be put here because in the old covenant, the people had to be mechanically told how to keep God's word. You got it? It had to be on the list on the wall, because there was nothing intrinsically already birthed inside of them that wanted to do that right now. And God said, it's on the wall. Do what's written there on the wall. Do the letter of the law. You do this. And in fact, you do this or you're going to die. I mean, he just went right for the kill shot right there. The mechanical concept of the word, they had to be told because it was not naturally in them. However, things changed as we read even deeper right now. We've often used different words about the rest and things like that. We've often used these words to remind us, as we look back what was written in the old, of the God-given pattern regarding the nobility of work. And yes, even in 2023, work is still noble, but where are the workers? We know the Old Testament is full, whether I read what Moses would write, whether I would read what is in Psalms, what is in Proverbs, the other great scriptures of the word, especially in the Old Testament. But do you know that in the Old Testament is full of work references? There are five New Testament scriptures of God blessing our labors and the work of our hands. Just, there's more than that, but I want to hit five with you real quick. I got five friends in the room right now, and I think you're the first one. Stand up loud and read that first one. Read it loud. Go. Okay, stop. Come here, stand up. Okay, we've got this concept throughout the Old Testament, and a lot of you think that they're so different. No, it's one thread, and it just continues in the thought of the scripture laying in your lap. Say the first opening line there, first part of it, loudly.
So let's not get tired of doing what is good.
Stop right there. Doing what? What is good? What is good? I get tired doing what is good sometimes. I get tired doing what is good sometimes, but let's don't get tired of that. Get tired of the thing that's not good. Switch it around, because in due time.
At just the right
time. Just the right time. Due time's New King James. Go.
We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up.
Don't give up on the brink of your miracle. They used to sing all the time. Paul wrote it in Colossians chapter 3. Stand up. Read it loudly, baby. You know, we've been through different things, but there's a season that we were going through that even doing this work was very, very difficult, and we felt like we were getting it from all angles there, and it was sport to make things trouble for us a lot of times. And I remember there were times that we would do the Lord's work of what we were doing, whether she was playing or whatever, and we would actually make the statement, we did it today as unto the Lord. So I want to tell you, you might be in a situation and you can't change the guy behind the desk reading the thing right now. You can't change that, but in your mind, I am serving as to the Lord because this is noble. I'm providing for my family. I'm doing something for them. And Lord, I just thank you that this crazy person is even, I'm here and you've got that handled right now, Father. You just turn that over and you put your head down and be the very best. Still, Paul had so much revelation. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Read it, baby.
So, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do.
What is the word whatever?
Whatever.
What's the word mean? Whatever.
Whatever.
Go, baby. Read it again.
So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
I told it a few months ago, I think it was, and Linda and I were in a place. It was a touristy type place, and it was a lot of crowd going on. And we were standing there in a line waiting for something. And there was a young girl there, and you could tell she had a lot of challenges. And she was the sweetest. She had this smile on her face. Hi, how are you? But society would look at her and say you don't fit the demographic, so to speak. And both of us. Linda probably said it this way. She knows God. She goes straight through the juggler. She knows God. Yeah, she's sweet. And then you get the others. Then we went in a restaurant not long after that, and there was this kid that looked like he just had everything, you know. But he was doing that, and he was doing the tables this way and that. I was watching this body language, and you just want to do like Foghorn did with the dog, you know, in the cartoons, you know. And you're wondering, is the glass going to be clean? I mean, is he doing the silverware on, you know, and then laying it down? You're looking at this. You're looking at this person, and yet he didn't have anything he needed. Whatever you do, sweetheart. Then he wrote a young man. He wrote a young man, and he's giving him some advice. Who's my Timothy? Stand up and hit it. Go, baby.
1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Okay. We live in a time right now where it is a cool arrival to get to where we don't have to work. Now, those of you who have worked for years and you have served a job and you have paid into a system, you deserve that. But if you are young, if you can walk, if you can breathe, there's so many things you can do right now. And I'm reading so many stories about moms who are taking care of children and grandmother taking care of children. And it's so wrong. And this is really the core of why we're having so much trouble in our world today. Okay? And if you don't provide for them, you're worse than an unbeliever. You are a reprobate in the eyes of God Almighty if you're living your life and not doing that. That's not the Old Testament. That's in the New Covenant. And finally, the last one, 2 Thessalonians 3. Read it.
Verse 10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he.
Oh, that's real mean, you know. See, you people, y'all are so cruel. You people are cruel. You Christians are cruel. The writings of Paul. but yet it is a badge that you don't have to work. I'm really working hard. We must take care of those who are in need and can't help themselves. That's Bible. But there's so much more there, and you understand. But notice in these readings here, in the New Testament, not the Old Testament, the concept of God's value of work is something that did not change when the New Covenant arrived. Okay? My whole point of reading that, when Jesus arrived and the concept of the New Covenant is now birth, that didn't mean, hey, we all live free now. That concept stayed the same. The New Testament basically only addresses things that changed as a result of the covenant. That did not change. And with the natural load of work aside, let's go look a little bit deeper, because people that are saying they're overwhelmed, the loads that people carry, the struggles they are having. Now I'm going in a little bit deeper now. I'm not talking about the job we work on. We must look to Jesus, who understood the things that we went through, who understood the loads that we were under, where we needed a Monday off, where we needed some time off. And Jesus knew that it was like that. And he, not only did he say it, he had felt it. He understood it. If I read the scriptures properly in Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." That's the Labor Day scripture for you and me right now, right now. But first off, let's stop right there and look. How many of you ever seen a word in a contract or in a statement when agreements getting hammered out? You see the word a proviso. Have you ever seen that word? A proviso. Basically, a proviso in a contract simply means this. It is a condition that is attached to an agreement. In other words, you're going to buy this, but it's incumbent upon you taking care of this before this is sold. Or it's incumbent upon you doing due diligence here before the agreement. That is connected to the agreement. This is an extra thing there right now. Oh, you can speak and pray and sing and dance and love and pronounce and say this is the way it's going to be. Say it over and over. Write it on your fridge. Write it on your mirrors. But if you're not doing something yourself to be proactive, the word is really clear. Those of you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But what's the proviso of the agreement? The proviso of the agreement, he is speaking to the children that follow him as Lord, as Master, and Savior. If we live our lives without regard to him, we're carrying the load by ourselves. This is for the child of God. This is for those who name him as the Lord they serve. The load you ever carry, by the way, the biggest load you'll ever carry is the load of sin. Because it's tied around your neck and it's going to take you and it will destroy our lives. And Jesus understood that, because just one verse later, after he said this, he's talking about the loads in life. Come to me, all you. And then watch verse 29. So take my yoke upon you. Stop right there. You first, we always look at the concept of the oxen, and we see that, but there's an understanding there. The yoke makes burden bearing easier. The yoke makes burden bearing easier. He said, "Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I'm humble, I'm gentle at heart, and there you will find," here's our word, "rest for your souls." How many of you could use a little rest today? Yoke up. See, the soul is really the core of true weariness. The disappointment, the concern, the heavy laden. You see it in the body language. And in many cases, we've all said, "I need to catch up on my rest," but we labor in our mind, we do labor in our body, and we labor in our spirit. But when we're carrying a load and we're doing the yoke pulling by ourselves, what we really need is a soul rejuvenation, not just a good night's sleep, not just a Monday off. We need a soul rejuvenation when we're overwhelmed. He said here, "Because my yoke is easy to bear and the burden that I give you is light." There have been a few times that I've been in the car, just me and having a conversation. I remember one day saying, you know, you really didn't tell the truth. You said your yoke was easy, your burden is light. Would you like to explain this to me right now? And you know what I heard back? Nothing. That's when I realized I was out there by myself. But we need to allow Jesus. We need to yoke up with him. It'll make the pulling easier. It'll make the rest sweeter. It'll help with the confusion while you're plodding along your way. Our great gospel songwriter, old friend of ours, Elizabeth Goodine, wrote this line. She said, your load will get much lighter when Jesus takes the load. Carrie Underwood's talking about Jesus taking the wheel. It's better if just take the load, take the whole thing. What about this? There needs to be a balance and understanding. Three things need to be important in our lives. Number one, God-centric. We need to be God-centric. We need to be word-centric. And then we do need to be work-centric, okay? We need to be, that's part of our life. And we need to work on this. And then the rest comes. Here's a revelation moment right now. Work comes before rest. And a lot of people want the rest without the work. That's even in our testimony. Work comes before rest. This is revelational to me. Could I say it this way? In this kingdom work, you will work all the live long day. You will work all the live, even in your resting. Just like Linda, you never stop running. But there's a point in time where your mind goes, okay, we've got this. We can do this thing. We can do this. This revelation right here is the revelational starting point. It is how we understand our hearts and our minds. This is what we keep working on each day, each week. Remember I said trusting God is a series of choices. And that doesn't mean where you're going to park. It means what you're going to do. What you're going to do with this load. What are you going to do with this problem? Trusting God each thing right now. Even when you got these plumb wore out times and you're seeking God all the live long day, he's there for us. The New Covenant Revelation in Hebrews 4 said, for, I wrote this word, for the word of God is alive. The word is powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Cuts between the soul and the spirit, between the joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and our desires. Not just the desires of our wants, but the desires, Lord, let me out from under this thing right now. Really, the cries of our heart, the burdens there. And it's not just some scattergun promise that you put on a refrigerator. Verse 14 said, so then, all right, that means this is big coming up right now. Since we have a great high priest. You know what this means right here? Since it has already been settled. There's no debate. Since we have this great high priest who's entered into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Trusting God is a series of belief moments and affirmation moments right now. But, you know, nobody knows. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. He faced all the same testings that we do. Yet, he did not sin. So, I like this. Let us take a breath, man, would you do that? Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. And there, what do you mean there? Where? The throne of God. The throne of God. Coming to in your weary moment, overloaded, worn out moment, and you don't have the day off in the natural and you are overwhelmed. But in that time, we go to his throne. We will receive mercy. We will find grace to help us when we need it the most. And if trusting God has become a series of regular things that we do in our lives. Linda was reading a sales thing yesterday, Tyler or something, talking about how many times a guy had been turned down or something like that. If you have an idea, if you haven't been turned down how many times? Was it 50 times or something? 100 times, yeah. You don't really understand it quite yet. when we need it the most. That you should run with that last line. When we're weak, when we're weary, when we're heavy laden, it's been there all along. I must remain God-centric. I must remain word-centric, and then I can be work-centric. I'm going to go back to the Old Testament because it was likely inspired by the writings of Paul. It inspired Paul to some of the writings we read, the Isaiah prophecy. Likely, this was what Paul used later on. Here's what it says. Remember, trusting in God, focusing on God, trusting step by step. You will keep him, that means you and me, in perfect peace. That means it's attainable. It's attainable. Whose mind, Joyce educated us for so many years, the mind is the battleground of torment. The mind is the battleground for unrest. It can be your greatest source of life. It can be your greatest source of inspiration and your greatest source of revelation, but it can be your greatest source of defeat. Your greatest source of destruction. If your mind is stayed, what does that mean? That means locked in. That means fixed on you because he trusts in you. He doesn't trust in nature. He doesn't trust in ideology. He doesn't trust on inclusion or philosophies or what we think. And it's then at that point that the concept of rest for our souls becomes operational, the proviso concept. When you hear a word rest for our soul, by the way, when we read the word, he'll keep us in perfect peace. One writer says the word perfect is not in the original Hebrew text. It is here in the writing when Paul wrote in perfect peace. Actually, he's saying peace, peace. And when you see in the scripture, in the translation, when a word is doubled, that is adding an emphasis. That's a squaring, so to speak. It's getting bigger. It doesn't just say peace. It says peace, peace. Doubled, it means the certainty of it. Doubled means the power of it. Doubled means that it is fixed right now, rooted and grounded because he trusts in God. They don't trust in their riches, nor in their own righteousness, nor in their church drill, nor even in their natural hearts, only in God. And even knowing this, we still sound like King David at times. Here's where we came in about being worn out. You read David, and David need more than just the first Monday off. David was overwhelmed. How many of you ever felt like this? Psalm 55. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, and then I would fly away and rest. I'd fly far away. Sounds like some of you moms right now when there's a lot of noise in the other room right now. Sounds like the moms said, man, if I could have wings, I would fly away right now. I want to go somewhere. One of the airlines had the advertisement for so long when things are going, and the voiceover said, do you need to get away? And it was a grabbing concept. Here you go. I'm working on this for later on this title. You'll hear it again in a few weeks. There is real rest, though, in real trust. There's a whole message coming with this. There is real rest in real trust. Use your own life. When things have been taken care of, certainly, there's a rest that comes. It's been taken care of. Even when you can't see it, even when you can't feel it, all the live long day, remember, there is real rest in real trust. So I leave you this morning with some words on this Labor Day weekend. Enjoy the natural rest. Enjoy the break if you get it. And by the way, even if you don't get the natural break, run in place. Get revitalized. Start putting in that. Get that. It's got to be the loudest thing in your ear. I think that's been one of the biggest revelations I've given you over the last 3 years. You're going to follow the loudest voice that you hear. Even in your deepest, heaviest loads, and the things that even cannot be seen, but you feel like that. If I read this right, he's already done, for Covenant Kids, he's already done the heavy lifting. Rest in this. His yoke is easy. Some of you haven't stopped long enough to breathe. You're just running. You're making lists while you're sitting here right now. You're just overwhelmed. You're just a cacophony of noise and confusion and going on right now. God doesn't get any glory out of that. Take a little bit of that time. Step outside for just a minute, Lord. Because you got to know, Jesus already took your heaviest load. He already took your heaviest burden. He already took the load of sin and death forever. He took that. John Piper said it this way: Jesus has lifted the heaviest load of guilt and sin by dying for us. So I don't carry that anymore. So I can pretty much handle anything they want to throw at me, because that's the word right there for me. He's there. He sits up right next to me. He's the load lifter. He's the burden bearer. Rest in this. Revive in this. Restore in this. Refire in this. And then get back to work. All the live long day.